Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit. Starting at age 11, she lost 50 pounds 9 times and kept gaining them back before discovering Weight Watchers. Today she sits on 35 boards, hosts a TV show, a radio show, and has written a bestseller entitled Talk to the Mirror. She signs every letter with love, love, love. Her name, Florine Mark, and I'm Jack Prasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now, back to Anything is Possible with Jack Prasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Florine Mark. Florine, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, Jack.
Could we start by you telling us about your childhood and your parents?
Well, I grew up, I'm a Detroiter, native Detroiter. I love the city, and I love what's happening to it now. And I know it's going to be the best city in the whole world, in the whole United States, I'm sure. We grew up on Elmhurst in Linwood. We were very, very, very poor. My sister got polio when I was 11, and I lived with my grandmother, my grandfather, my six aunts and uncles, my mother, my father, and two sisters all in the same house. We had two bathrooms, and we always took in a roomer because we had no money. You know what a roomer is, Jack?
Yes.
Somebody that came and rented a room for us. So a lot of us slept three and four in a bedroom, and of course the roomer had to have the bathroom first. And I've been working since I've been 11. My first job, I sold donuts, and they didn't keep me there long because I think I ate more donuts than I sold. But we all went to work because when my sister got polio, we had no Blue Cross, no insurance, nothing. And she needed a lot of surgery, and thank goodness for the March of Dimes. And they sent her to Warm Springs, Georgia, where she met President Roosevelt there. And it was just a happy growing up time, even though we were poor. I didn't know I was poor. There was always a mother or a father, being one of my six aunts and uncles or my grandmother and grandfather. If my mother and dad weren't around, there was always somebody to hug me and love me and be a mother and father to me. So life was fun. I enjoyed. I loved everybody. And everybody kept telling me that I could do anything I wanted to do if I wanted to do it bad enough. I think that was a gift. And I tried to give that gift to my children. They really believed in me. I was told every day how much they loved me, even though I was very fat and I felt unloved because of my fat, being so fat, and the kids would make fun of me. But when I got home, I mean, my parents and my grandparents and my aunts and uncles, I mean, they taught me everything. They taught me how to cook and how to clean and how to iron. Remember starting out ironing handkerchiefs, and then I went to pillowcases, and I'm a good ironer.
11 years old, you're 50 pounds overweight. You lose it, you gain it. This is 9 times before you finally found Weight Watchers.
That's right. Do you know that's almost 500 pounds that I have lost and gained in my lifetime? And many of them, 8 times, with diet pills, Jack. I mean, I went to the neighborhood doctor. My mother saved enough money to let me go because I was desperate. I hated myself, and I hated kids would call me Fat Flo, FF, and I hated it. So she would scrub up some money and take me to the nearest diet doctor, and they would give me all these pills. They were amphetamines and tranquilizers and thyroid and there were all kinds of things in these awful pills that, I mean, could have killed you. Honestly, could have killed. Digitalis. I mean, I didn't need the thyroid. I didn't need the digitalis, but that's, they called them rainbow pills. And I'd go on this, they'd give me a diet, which I didn't use a diet. Everybody knows that breakfast is fattening, so you didn't eat breakfast, okay? And you didn't eat lunch, and you had a steak and a grapefruit at dinner time, and the pills would make me so crazy that I'd have to do a little cheating, and then I'd throw the wrappers someplace or whatever else. And my mother thought the way I was eating, I should have lost 20 pounds a week and maybe I'd lose one because I was cheating all the time. I was cheating myself. I was cheating my mother. I was cheating everybody. She was scrounging around for this money, and money was very important and tight for us. But I was determined to lose the weight, and I'd lose it. And as soon as I'd lose it, I'd say, I got the secret. I know how to do this. And then I would go out and start eating the same way that I ate before, all the ice cream, all the breads, and all the other things that I ate that made me so overweight. And then I'd gain the 50 pounds back, and then, my alarm would go off in my head, and I'd say, oh my God, I look at the number on the scale, and then I'd go to another diet doctor. And I did that 9 times.
Then you hear about this thing called Weight Watchers out of New York City.
Yes. Well, meantime, I got married and had a child, got divorced, and went on and had 4 more children. And now I'm a mother of 5. I'm very young. I'm in my 20s. And I hear my husband had said to me, honey, why don't you go out and get a job? He thought maybe this would help. And I thought to myself, who is going to hire me? I'm a size 20. I mean, I look in the mirror. I don't even have clothes to wear. I have 1 black dress to wear. I hate myself. Why would anybody want to hire me? I never thought and told myself of the good things about me. My nice personality, I'm kind, all the other good things. Only the fact that I was fat colored everything. So I heard about this thing called Weight Watchers in New York, and I called them up, and they said, you have to come here. And I took my last bit of money, and I went to New York, and I stayed for 5 days, and I drank their milk, and I ate their bread, and I ate all these foods that I hadn't eaten in many, many years, good, solid eating, nutritionally balanced food. And the first week, I was sure that I had gained weight because I ate so much. I weighed my food on a little scale, and the first week, I lost 5 pounds. I stayed from Monday to Friday. Friday I came home, and I stayed home a month. I called them every week, and then I'd go back, and I went 4 times, and in 4 months I lost 40 pounds.
What is it about Weight Watchers that helped you break this vicious cycle?
Well, first of all, it was sitting in a classroom or a meeting with other people who were suffering just like me. So I wasn't alone. I used to be at home by myself and think I'm the only one in the whole world that has all this weight to lose, and I'm the only one that's so ugly and all the rest. So that was it, the group support. Every person that works for Weight Watchers has had a weight problem, lost the weight with Weight Watchers, gone through the training, and are keeping it off. So when you come into any one of my classes here or any place, you know that someone that is teaching you has been there before. A teacher, Jack, can never teach, can only tell and never teach unless they practice what they preach. You got to walk the talk, okay? So every one of our leaders, and here there was a leader that was, her name was Jean Nitus. She was the founder of the company. She was my leader. And she knew all the tricks. I would go in and I'd take the ice cream box of ice cream, vanilla. See, I only bought vanilla, although my children only like chocolate. But I thought chocolate is fattening. Vanilla isn't fattening because it's white. And I used to just clean the sides and I'd take a spoonful. And by the end of the day, I'd finished the whole half gallon of ice cream. And, she knew that because she was doing the same thing. Everybody there. So it was the group support. It was the motivation. It was the good food. It was the getting on the scale. It was paying a little bit of money. I mean, we're very inexpensive. We're $12 or $13 a week. And you can go to as many meetings a week as you want for $13. You can go to 3 of them a day. You can go to 21 meetings a week if you want. You want to get weighed in and do that every single week. But it was the fact that I paid a little money, that there was group support. I was learning how to change my behavior, change my eating habits.
We're talking to Florian Mark. When we come back, we'll ask her how it was she brought Weight Watchers to Detroit. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Florian Mark, who signs every letter she ever writes with love, love, love. Florian, how was it you brought Weight Watchers to Detroit?
Well, I'll tell you that, but let me tell you about the love, love, love first. I have a lot of people that write me back and sign it love, love, love. I mean, I'll write to Rick Wagner, the president of GM, on a business letter and sign it love, love, love. I'll write to the President of the United States and sign it love, 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 because I feel that I'm spreading a little love, and that when you see it, you know, and I always sign my own letters, when you see that and you see that I've signed it, I think people get a smile on their face and they think about it. And maybe, you know, maybe I'm just going to help spread a little love around the world, because if there's more love, there'll be more peace. Okay, now what was your next question?
How was it you brought Weight Watchers to Detroit?
So I lost the 40 pounds, and I had 10 more to go, by the way. It took me 4 months to lose 40. It took me 1 year to lose the last 10. And Gene Nitish said to me, why don't you take this back to Detroit and start a class? And I thought, by this time, I'm ready to go out. I wanted to do what you're doing, Jack, be on the radio, be on television. I wanted to go into marketing. I wanted to do public relations. I love to write. I wanted to write, go into newspaper work. But I had a fat family. I mean, I've told you about my six aunts and uncles, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather. I forgot to tell you they were all short and fat. I'm the tallest person in my family. And I thought, you know, everybody wants to lose the weight. I will start a class. They asked me if I'd start a class in Detroit and bring this back to Detroit. I was the first person who was a non-New Yorker that brought Weight Watchers out of New York. And so I figured I'll have a class, and then I'm going to newspapers, I'm going to radio stations, I'm going to TV stations. Here I am. I'm ready. I want to work. So I brought it back July the 12th. I went into a small candy store, because I figured that's where overweight people go. To this day, Jack, I find it very hard to say the word fat. I don't know why. It's just like a four-letter word for me. So I went into the candy store, and because that's where overweight people go, chubby people, and I convinced the owner to let me put a sign up that says, come lose weight with Weight Watchers. And that first night, 30 people came. Well, there was my mother, my father, my six aunts and uncles, and, you know, a few friends and some people. And I was scared to death. And I just didn't know what to say. I mean, there was no pills. There was no exercise. There was nothing. I didn't know what to say. I took a deep breath, and I thought, for sure, I'm going to faint. So I said, excuse me, to these 30 people. And I went into the bathroom, because my mother said that if you ever get nervous and you feel like you're going to faint, you bend down and put your head through your legs, take a really deep breath, and then you'll feel better. So I did that. I stuck my head between my legs, and I took a deep breath. And as I got up, there in front of me was the bathroom mirror. And I looked into that mirror, and I said, hey, Florine Mark, those people want to hear what you have to say. And you can do anything you want if you want to do it bad enough. Now you get out there and you tell them how you lost weight. And I went out there and I told 30 people. And the next week, 60 people came. And the following week, 150 people came. And before I knew it, there were 300 people in that class. And people were calling me from churches and synagogues and Y's and shopping centers, Eastland and Grosse Pointe War Memorial. And they wanted me to hold classes for Weight Watchers. And I knew this was going to be my life's job, that just the fact when those 30 people came back the second week, and I'd hear people, and there was several of them that had over 100 pounds to lose, and maybe they lost 5, maybe 10 pounds, because the more weight you have to lose, the faster you'll lose it in the first week. But even if you lose 3 or 4, now you and I can't see, a person that has 100 pounds to lose, you can't see the 5 pounds they've lost, but this person would say to me, oh my God, Florine, I feel so wonderful. You've changed my whole life. And I thought to myself, you know what? God has given me a gift. He's allowing me to be very small, instrumental in helping people to help themselves. And this is a gift, and I will never take it for granted. And it was such an exhilarating experience that I knew this will be my life job. This is what I wanted to do.
We're going into a new year, 2006. Most all of us will make some New Year's resolutions. Lose weight, start exercising, get more motivation, go back to school. We all do it. And for the vast majority of us, Florine, by the second third of the year, we've forgotten it. What advice would you give us about New Year's resolutions?
Well, you see, I make New Year's resolutions every day of my life. We talked before about how I got up and looked in the mirror and told myself that it was going to be a good day, and I could do anything I wanted, and I could teach those people how to lose weight. That's how I wrote the book, Talk to the Mirror, because that's where it started. And from that point on, I went out and told those people what I did. And I don't ask myself to do anything for more than one day. I'll set a goal for one day. For 24 hours, of which 8 I'm sleeping, 16 I'm awake, I can really do things that will better my life and make it easier for other people. But I never ask myself to do things that I'm going to fail at. Now, I'm 5 foot, almost 5 foot six. I always wanted to be 5 foot seven. I've never heard of Grow Watchers, so I don't ask myself to be 5 foot seven. So if you set your goals daily and you make a deal with yourself and you talk to the mirror and you ask yourself to do things that you know you're going to be successful at, because when you're not successful, you walk around saying, oh my God, I ate all that food. I'm so ugly. I'm so bad. I'm so fat. I can't stand myself. But when you say, you know, just for today, I'm not going to have any ice cream. And you wake up in the morning, you say, my God, I did it. One day I did. And now I'll go another day and another day. So the whole secret is, if you want to make New Year's resolutions, which I think you don't have to, but make them for one day. Make a bargain with yourself for one day. And in the morning, get up and make another bargain. And before you know it, you've made a bargain for 30 days and then 60 days. And yeah, you'll have some slips in there. But when you do have those little hiccups, you know, if you can look back in that mirror and say, okay, doesn't make me a bad person. I'm back on my program, or I'm stopping to smoke, or I'm getting a better job, whatever else that you want to do, and talk to yourself and give yourself positive messages, because I believe your brain tells you what to say. You're the captain of your own ship.
What do you do when you wake up and you're feeling sad and blue?
Okay, I exercise. Many times, you know, if the weather is dreary out, there's even a disease called SAD, you know, sad affliction, and it affects almost all of us, especially when we live and go through our winters when the sun doesn't shine. I don't mind if it's cold or it's snowing as long as the sun is shining. When the sun isn't shining after 2-3 days, you know, I can feel myself getting a little down. I talk to the mirror more. I play music. I exercise. I get on that treadmill, or I'll go out for a walk, or, you know, I'll ride that bicycle, and I'll watch television until the perspiration is just, you see men sweat and ladies perspire. Until that perspiration is coming down, and after 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, it really relieves the sadness that you have. So I really ask people to give themselves positive messages, but really exercise. No, it doesn't make a difference what you weigh. You know, if you're weighing more, you're going to do it slowly. But even if you're really thin, everyone needs to move. It really helps.
When we come back, we'll ask Florine how I go about getting good self-image. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
We're with Florine Mark, who hosts the TV show entitled Ask Florine. Well, I want to ask you, Florine, how do I go about getting a good self-image?
Well, you have to take a slip of paper first and put a line down the middle of the paper, blank paper. Put your name on it. It's only for you. Nobody has to see it. And on one side of the paper, put all the things that I don't like about myself, that I can change. Now, those are the key words, Jack, that I can change. On the other side, you put all the things that you like about yourself. So let's start, and I'll give you mine, okay? I'm quick to temper sometimes. So, you know, I don't call that temper anymore. I'm a passionate lady, okay? I'm a real passionate lady. So I kind of watch it because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, okay? So I kind of think more. What else do I want to change? Well, you know, maybe I call my kids too much because I love them so much and I shouldn't be bothering so much. I don't know. I just very few things, okay? Now, let's go about the things that I do like about myself. I'm kind. I'm good. I have a good sense of humor. I'm a good mother. I was a good wife. I'm a good daughter. I've got nice ankles. I got pretty hair. I got nice eyes. I smile a lot. I'm a good businesswoman. I'm a good marketer. On and on and on and on. I am no different from any one of you listening out there. You will have the very, very same list. You'll probably find it very hard to list 5 things that you don't like about yourself, and very easy to list all the things that are good for you, that you do like about yourself. Then you have to put it in your wallet and take it out when you're not feeling good and you're feeling that you have no self-respect, and take a look at how all those good things about you, and pat yourself on the back. And if you start telling yourself all the good things about you, boy, I do a good job. I'm a good worker. My boss is really likes what I do. I'm a good writer. You know, I can shovel snow better than anybody. I'm good for my kids. I've never missed a football game for any of my children, okay?
What does Weight Watchers really sell?
Oh, we sell self-respect. You know, our diet, of course, is wonderful. It's a point system, and you can eat anything you want as long as you don't go over your point limit. But really, when you come to the meetings, what you're learning is change. And every time you make a positive change in your life that you didn't think you could, whoever thought that I could get away without eating ice cream every single day? Ben and Jerry's vanilla. Whoever thought that when I was feeling sad or lonely or unhappy or miserable that I needed the cookies and the cake and the fried chicken and all the rest, that I can be sad, lonely, miserable, unhappy and not have to eat for it? And every time I won another little victory, little ones, they build up and up and up, and that's what's called self-respect.
We're talking to Florian Mark, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Florian, you've been honored all over the world. You sit on 35 boards. You served a 6-year stint as a board member of the Detroit branch of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. You meet fabulous people all over the world. Who has stood out the most?
Oh, there's so many of them, including I ended up being the chair of the Federal Reserve Board, Detroit Chicago branch. And so therefore, I got to sit next to, introduce, and become very friendly with Alan Greenspan. And of course, he's one. Larry Fleischman. He is a doctor at Children's Hospital. He is a pediatric urologist. He is outstanding. Tom Slovis, Mike Klein, who's a surgeon. Every one of those doctors, I sit on the Children's Hospital board, and every time I go to a board meeting and I hear the stories that they tell about the kids and what they're doing, it just blows my mind. These people are so dedicated. Marianne Illich, you know, oh, hooray for Marianne. Look at what she's done. She's fabulous, and she's so wonderful. I've met women all over, and men all over the world, practically, and what I do, I make it a point of smiling and waving to the garbage collectors, because I want to tell you something. I am so happy that they come and pick up my garbage at my house. And I think they deserve recognition, and I think they're terrific. And I don't think many people stop and wave at them, and they always wave back at me. And I think what they do, I mean, is just remarkable. Day in and day out, they pick up my garbage and yours. I think that is, sure they get paid, but it's a remarkable thing to do. So I think we're all remarkable.
When you're at a board meeting of the Detroit branch of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, Florian, what do you do?
Well,
count money. What do you do?
No, you know, Federal Reserve Bank is a business, and we, like any other board you sit on, we run the business. We're concerned with HR and our employees and our gross revenues, and you know, are the other banks availing themselves of our service? We built a building. You know, we do everything anybody else does. But one of the jobs of all the board members, and there's 12 Federal Reserve Banks, and all the board members report on a monthly basis when we have our meetings on their industry. So I took the diet industry, which consists of the diet sugars and the diet sodas and anything to do with dieting. And I would research all month, call the big companies up and find out how you're doing, what's happening in your industry. And then I would report it as everybody there. I mean, Martinez, who was president of Sears at the time, took the retail fashion industry, and he reported on that industry. Well, how was Christmas? How was Easter, our sales up? And all that information from all the board members at all 12 banks go to the FOMC, which is the Federal Open Market Committee, of which Chairman Greenspan is the head of it. And there's a whole committee, and that's how interest rates go up and down. So it's a very important job. Beside running the bank, it's bringing in information that of what's happening in your industry.
One of the many things I admire about you, when we've been in board meetings together, you always have a great urge to keep learning.
Absolutely.
You use who, what, where, when, why, open-ended questions. Many people get old and famous, and they know everything. You have this great urge. Why?
You know something? I don't think that many people get old and famous and feel they know everything. I think a lot of people are shy. and they don't feel they want to, maybe they don't want to make a quote-unquote a fool of themselves by asking a question in front of a board meeting with 15 very important people sitting there who are very knowledgeable and very educated. And so they'd rather not ask the question or stir up any commotions. And with me, I am just the most curious person you've ever met in your life. And I want to know why. And I know that I have a responsibility, if I sit on a board, that I have a fiduciary responsibility to do my best and make sure that the company, that I give what I'm supposed to this company. So I have to know all the answers. I can't make a decision or put my name, sign my name on a board in a slip of anything unless I'm sure this is a good decision, and I know. And I want to hear. And, of course, I do love to hear people talk, and I love to get good information. Every day I like to learn a new word.
You mentioned the book, Talk to the Mirror.
Right.
What's the basic message of the book?
Well, it's to feel great about yourself every day. Now, on the book, on the cover, which we will be changing when we go into paperback, it says for an empowering guide for women. It's not. It's for men and women. I have just as many men that read it. And what this happened is I've been talking to the mirror for many, many years, and I've been talking about it whenever I get out and speak. And everybody keeps saying, why don't you do a videotape or do an audio tape or write a book? So I decided when my husband got ALS, I was married to a wonderful man, Dr. Bill Ross, and he got diagnosed ALS at the height of his career, and he was physically fit and did everything right and all the rest, and whammo, it's an ugly disease. There is no cure for it. There's nothing to stop it. And for 8 months, he was completely paralyzed, couldn't move a thing except his eyelids. He could blink his eyes and smile, thank goodness, and he couldn't talk and he couldn't swallow. I used to tube feed him. So I figured I was home. I didn't leave the house for 8 months, and I figured this is a good time to start writing a book. So I started to write the book at that particular time, and it helped me to be a smiling, happy, wonderful person, girlfriend of his, while he was going, as he called it, through his last adventure. Every day for him was an adventure. He'd get up in the morning and say, okay, honey, today we're going to have another adventure, or we'd travel. Today we're going to go on this adventure. And when he got the diagnosis, and I was just devastated, I knew he was too, and when we caught our breath, he said, well, we've had many adventures, and now this is our last adventure, and we're going to go through it as an adventure. And every time his fingers got paralyzed, he said, hey, look at that. Look at this. He was curious as to why and what was happening. So I sat down and I wrote the book, and it helped me. I put down all these thoughts, and I got out a lot of emotion, and then I could go back up and joke with him and laugh with him and sit on his lap and tease him and watch TV with him and do all the things, take him on excursions. I bought a special car, an SUV that put the wheelchair in, and we'd go out looking for birds and looking at flowers. And, you know, I tried to bring as much joy in his life. And that's how the book came about. And I want to tell you, if I feel sad these days, I either go to a Weight Watchers class or I pick up and read a section of the book or a page or whatever else, and it always makes me feel better. It reminds me of who I am and what I really want in life.
You were married to Irving Mark.
Right.
You lost him
wonderful
to cancer.
Wonderful man. He had cancer.
Dr. Bill Ross, fabulous man, ALS.
ALS, right.
In March of 2004, 6 months later, your mom, Ruthie Grossberg,
right,
passes.
Right.
And you're this positive. How do you stay so positive?
Well, they all left me with messages. You know, Bill used to say to me, now, honey, when he could still talk, you got to go out and have more adventures. He'd say, I would, if it was reversed, I'd go out there and have them, and I want you to. You'd be foolish. We all have a certain amount of time left, and if you don't live it every single day, shame on you. And I hear that in my head, and my mother was the very same way. She the day she died, she went to the casino, she exercised, she had a great dinner, she just didn't feel good, had a heart attack, and left this world. She was a fabulous, fabulous woman. Very, very wonderful woman. Very dedicated. So I believe for everybody, for myself, of course, but for everybody that's gone that I love so dearly, I'm going to make the most of my life. I'm not going to sit there. Nobody would want me sitting at home just crying and grieving.
We're talking to Florine Mark, the mother of 5 and the grandmother of 23. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Florine Mark. Florine, if God is all-loving and all-knowing, why did God make the best-tasting food the most fattening food?
Well, I think he wants us to have a little taste of everything, all the sweetness in life, but not too much of it that it's going to make us sick. And the more fattening, fatty foods that you eat with fat in it, you know, really sugar is not as much the culprit as it is fat, as long as you're not a diabetic. Fat, you know, those little yellow things that go through your veins and sometimes get clogged up, that's called cholesterol. And so he said, have a little bit and have it in moderation. But don't eat too much, because if you eat too much, you're going to get sick. So I think that's why he did that.
Florine, you're all about self-control. Don't you ever crave a candy bar?
Like a Hershey's Symphony bar with almond chips. If you haven't had one, don't go out and buy it, because they are the best. And I've had chocolate all over the world. I don't eat those anymore. I'm now on to ice cream, back with ice cream, but I get this sugar-free ice cream, you know, a little bit of Cool Whip. It probably has nothing but preservatives in it, but it seems to satisfy me. I kind of set myself on Sundays is when I can indulge a little bit more. So Sundays is my day to kind of relax as far as my eating is concerned. But if I want it during the week, I'll have it. But you know what the whole secret is I don't binge for weeks and days, and I binge for 20 minutes, or I don't even want to call it binge, but I'll have something that maybe I more points than I should. But then when I'm through, I stop, and then I go right back to my counting and my Weight Watchers meal. I have extra vegetables or fruits or whatever else. And so I think when people get in trouble is that you can have a little something. You can have that one candy bar. But in the old days, I'd have the one candy bar, and then I'd say, oh, my God, you know, that sugar makes me want to eat more, so I had the second candy bar. I would buy three or four of them, figuring I'd put them away, you know, one a week, but I'd eat all four of them all at the same time. And then I would say, well, I'll start on a diet tomorrow, and then tomorrow didn't come, and then tomorrow, and then, you know, then there I was, I'd gain 5-10 pounds again. And I don't want to ever do that, because it's not the weight. It's what it does to my ego and to my self-respect. It just tears me down, and I don't want to do that. The weight is on my shoulders, and I have to feel good about me. If I can't feel good about me, I can't go out there and do what I do for my business, for my family, my children, you know, charities and all the rest.
We've just ended the holidays, New Year. For a lot of people, the holidays are tough times. They go through depression.
Right.
What do you say to people that are depressed? How do they get hope?
Okay, you go out to the soup kitchens and the hospitals and the nursing homes, and you give of your time, and you help somebody else. And when you help somebody else, you forget all about yourself, because there's always someone that's a lot worse off than you are. That's what I do. It always, always helps.
You're a master at marketing. You're always marketing. How did you learn how to market?
Well, you know, my PhD came from experience. I knew I wasn't going to go to college. There was no money. So when everybody else was taking college education courses, I was taking retailing and bookkeeping and accounting and all of that. So I've been working, you know, I used to help run a store called Lobby Hobby, which was a beautiful photographic store, which is now no longer there. And I did all kinds of things, and I just watched and learned. The man that owned and ran Lobby Hobby, there was just the two of us. He did all the advertising, all the marketing. I remember him saying to me, Florine, I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong. And so I learned from him. I'm a voracious reader. I read everything on marketing. I read the Harvard Review. I read Danielle Steele. I read everything from Danielle Steele to the Harvard Review and everything in between. And that's how I learn. And, you know, I've audited classes. I belong to an organization of women who are all working women. and who we get together and we meet at different colleges. We've studied at Harvard, we've studied at MIT, we've studied at Southern California, you know, and we do that. We do that together. And, you know, I listen. I sit in the meetings and I listen to the Dieter Zetsches, who are so fantastic. I listen to the Rick Wagners and I listen to the Billy Fords and all of everybody else in between. I'm very lucky because I was the first woman. Now we got a number of us on who was on the Detroit Renaissance. And I mean, that's a learning experience. Just to sit there and listen and then be able to voice an opinion is a very gratifying and very wonderful thing. And I'm just, you know, I think I'm the luckiest lady that I know. And I work hard. Everybody says, well, your business is a woman's business. It's not. A business is a business. I have the same problems as other businesses do. But I work very hard at being lucky. And I'll tell you, the difference between me and someone who is not as lucky is I believe that I'm a lucky person. I really do. I know I'm the luckiest lady.
How were you able to juggle motherhood, 5 children, and build and operate a very successful business concurrently?
That's a really emotional question for me because I went to work when my kids were very, very little. And I being the president, you know, so I could come home after when the school was out. But I had a lot of guilt feelings, and I still do. I know I have, you know, I have kids that maybe feel that I should have stayed home and baked cookies and just been more of a mother. And but you know what? Now that I think about it, there are some of us that need to work, because we are not that good at home. And I know that I gave my all to my children, and I spent, you know, they say quality time, but I know I missed a lot of the soccer games and some of the other things that the kids did. I had someone that drove and helped me drive. That was the most important thing for me with my children, who did the grocery shopping and all the rest. And he was probably around my kids as much as I was, and I resent that. Now that I think about it, I feel cheated that I wasn't at every function for them and I wasn't there for them all the time. But something that, you know, I hope they understand, I have 5 wonderful kids. They're all dedicated. They all have their own jobs, and they're all on the board. You know, 4 of them are on the board of directors at Weight Watchers, but they're all committed, and they're nice people, and they're kind, and they're good, and they're loving, and they're very charitable, which is very important to me, giving back. You know, my March of Dimes helped my sister, and from that moment on, I've been collecting dimes when I marched, and I believe you have to give back. That's a big part of my life and has been from the day I started my own business.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned in building the business?
2 things. Number one, the most important people in my business career are the people that work with me or for me, and the second are the people that avail themselves of my service. And I spend 100% of my time marketing, finding ways to make life better for the people that work for me so that they're happy, and the people that take my services, that buy my meetings. Those are the most important. And you know, you have to listen, and you have to let people make their mistakes. You have to give them responsibilities. And I'm lucky. I have the greatest staff in the whole wide world.
What advice would you give to young people today?
Have a fire in your belly, a passion in your heart, believe in yourself, try. The person that fails is the one that stops trying. Get out there and do, be able to make a change, be able to say I made a mistake, and listen and just do and have some fun along the way.
Very quickly, is the American dream still alive?
Absolutely. This is America. We are the luckiest people in the whole world to live here, and I'll never forget that. And there is a dream. You can be an entrepreneur right now and start with a little gadget and become a billionaire if you want.
What are you the proudest of?
My children, my family, my business, my friends, my life. I'm really proud. I'm proud of me.
What role has faith played in your life, Florian?
Religion is extremely important to me. I believe in God, and I believe that God is within all of us, and he helps us to become better people, or she, whoever, if it's a God, he or she. And I think meditation and integrated medicine, massage therapy, and sitting quietly. I go to, you know, whether you go to a church or a synagogue, just being there, you just feel reverent, you feel good.
Florian, thanks for all you do for so many people, and continue
thanks,
to do.
You too.
Our guest next Sunday will be the legendary football coach, analyst, and motivational speaker, Lou Holtz. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week because anything is possible. Spahn.